In Luke chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." What does it mean to praise God? Now, you know, you can turn on the television on any given Sunday, as perhaps some of you did today, and you can see people praising God in every one of those assemblies, or at least ostensibly praising God. But what does it mean to really praise God? You know, when I was first assigned this topic, I thought, like many times when you're assigned a topic, I thought, where am I going to go with this? And exactly how am I going to make a sermon out of this? But as is usually the case with a topic like this, I found it to be a very interesting study. And I believe it will be an interesting study for every one of us this evening. I believe it's going to be a blessing to us. We're here to praise the Lord. How do we praise the Lord? What does it mean to really praise the Lord? I believe this evening there are five ways that we praise the Lord, at least. And I want to enumerate these this evening. Five ways that we give praise to God. In fact, what does the word praise mean? If you look the word praise up in the dictionary, it simply means to give glory and honor to God. So how do we praise? How do we give glory and honor to God? Before I look at these five ways that we praise God, however, I want to say how we do not praise God. I want to talk about one way especially that we do not necessarily praise the Lord, and that is simply by saying, praise the Lord. Now, you know, as I said, if you turn on some of these programs, these religious programs, you'll see people dancing and lifting up their hands and swaying and saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But you know what? Just by saying the words or the phrase, praise the Lord, does not necessarily give glory and honor to the Lord. You know, Jesus, when he was talking about prayer, said, do not use vain repetitions. Now, you know, when Jesus talked about vain repetitions, a repetition, of course, is simply to use a phrase or a group of words over and over, to repeat those words. And I believe the Lord is telling us that we can use words like praise the Lord, or amen, or hallelujah. Nothing wrong in those words in and of themselves, but we can use them over and over again until they're empty of any meaning. And they actually are void of what we intend for them to do. Back in the 1970s, I lived in McAllister, Oklahoma. Worked with a church in McAllister. Miles King at that time lived in Norman, Oklahoma. And so every now and then he'd come by my house. One Saturday he came by, and he said, Jerry, I've met the man who is the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship here in McAllister. Now, how Miles meets all these people, I don't know, but he'd met this man. And he said that this is Saturday, and tonight they're having a banquet at the Holiday Inn, and they're having a speaker after the banquet. And he said, that man gave me two tickets. He said, we can go over there, and we can eat us a free meal, and we can listen to the speaker. Well, you know, that was right up Miles' alley. Miles is here this evening. That was right up his alley. Now, let me say this in Miles' defense. I don't believe that he knew what we were about to get into, as you're going to see in just a minute. You know, I didn't really know much about the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship at that time, but it's an organization of business people who are charismatic. That is, they believe in tongues and the miraculous gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I really didn't know that. I don't know if Miles did either, but it was a free meal. And so Miles talked me into it, and so we went. Now, you know how these banquets are. They've got all these tables arranged, and so we sat down. And now I'm telling you, right across from where we were sitting was an Episcopalian priest with his collar turned around. And right down here was a preacher from another denomination and several preachers and business people who were a part of this organization. And they were really friendly. They were a friendly group of people. In fact, they would introduce themselves to me, and I'd say, my name's Jerry Dickinson. They'd say, praise the Lord. I'm Miles King. Praise the Lord. What do you do? I said, I'm a preacher for the C. and Tyler Church of Christ. Praise the Lord. And it was that way, I mean, after everything you would say, these green beans are good. Praise the Lord. My, we're having a great buffet. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, it went on like that throughout the dinner. Finally, we finished eating our dinner, and before the speaker got up, I guess the president got up, and he said, "Now we've had a wonderful meal. Everybody stand up. We're going to praise the Lord a little bit." And I thought, uh-oh. So anyway, we all stood up, and they started singing that song. Do you know that song? Alleluia, alleluia. Thank you, Jesus. And they keep adding different words to it. You've heard that song. And of course, people started lifting up their hands and praising the Lord and thanking Jesus and swaying back and forth. And a person over here started dancing, and somebody over here did another holy dance. And then somebody over here went hum gala gala, hum gala, you know, speaking in tongues. But there were a bunch of people, and I thought, man, here, Miles and I just looking at each other, you know, right in the middle of all of this. And I was thinking, thank you, Miles, for bringing me to this place. Well, you know, they went on for a while. They didn't get too much out of order. I've seen some where they get really wild, but they sort of contained a little bit. Finally, that was over, and the speaker was introduced, and he gave a talk, and finally, they had some people come up to the altar trying to get the Holy Ghost, and people praying for them. They never did get the Holy Ghost while I was there. But anyway, this went on for a long time, and finally, I told Miles, I said, "I'm ready to go." He said, "I am too." I said, "I'm going to go to the restroom out here in the foyer, and I'll meet you at the car." So I went in the restroom, and as I was coming out, one of these folks that had been at the banquet was coming in. I held the door for him and said, "There you are." He said, "Praise the Lord." And I thought, well, you know, these folks praise the Lord even when you hold the door for them. Ladies and gentlemen and brethren, you may be wondering, why'd you tell that, Jerry? I want to ask a question. Is that what it means to praise the Lord? You make an A on your math test, praise the Lord. These green beans are good, praise the Lord. When we lived in McAllister, my wife Judy had been looking for some shoes, a certain kind of shoes. And there was a woman who was a member of our church who had a daughter who went to a Pentecostal church, a charismatic church. And we knew her. She worked in the shoe department at Hunt's department store downtown. And one day Judy was in there and she saw those shoes and she told that lady, she said, "There's the shoes I've been looking for. I've been looking everywhere for those shoes." And that lady said, "Praise the Lord. The Lord led you right to those shoes." Is that what it means to praise the Lord? I heard a preacher one time, I was riding, it was late at night after holding a meeting, I tuned into this preacher, and he was preaching, and I'm telling you, after every phrase, after every sentence, he said, "Praise God." He said, "Jesus is our Savior, praise God. The Bible is our guide to heaven, praise God. If you don't accept Jesus, you'll burn in hell forever and ever, praise God." And I thought to myself, does the man even know what he's saying? Praising God, people are going to burn in hell, and he's praising God for that. You know, Jesus said, don't use vain repetitions. And if we're not careful, we can say, "Praise God, praise God, praise God," and it means nothing. And it's counterproductive, even to glorifying and praising God. What does it mean to praise God? How do we really praise God? I believe there are five ways that the Scriptures show us that we can praise the Lord. Number one, we praise the Lord by speaking praise to Him. That's one reason I read those two scriptures at the beginning. When Jesus was born, an angel came to those shepherds and told them, "Go into the city, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, it's Christ the Lord." And all of a sudden the Bible says there was with that angel a host of angels praising God and saying, and I want to stop right here and I want to emphasize something. I'm not saying that angels don't sing. I'm not saying that angels do not sing. But these angels did not sing a Christmas carol. The Bible doesn't say these angels sang. It says they said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men." And over there in Revelations 19, those beings that John saw in that great revelation, they were praising God and they were saying, "Glory to God, hallelujah, give praise to God, our omnipotent God who reigns on high." So, we can speak words of praise and glory to God. But I want to emphasize something here. We do this all the time, don't we? Yeah, we do. We do it in our preaching. We do it in our prayers. We do it in our personal conversations. We say words that ascribe glory and honor to God. We're speaking praise to God. But now listen, I want to emphasize the fact that we need to use meaningful phraseology. We need to use words that mean something. And words that are intelligible and meaningful. Here's what I'm talking about. Not too long ago, I was watching one of these religious programs. In fact, it was right out of Dallas, Texas. Right here, you know, there's the Potter House. You know that giant megachurch? You people in Dallas know the Potter's House and T.D. Jakes. is the preacher, and I happened to tune into that program, and he was preaching, but in his preaching he got all worked up, and he started going tut 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 tut. I'm not joking, and I'm not exaggerating. In fact, I thought, what in the world has happened to the man? He kept going tut 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 tut, just like that, and he started dancing. And I'm gonna tell you something: the more he went tut tut tut, the wilder they went. Those people went crazy in that mega church. Now, ladies and gentlemen, is that what it means to praise the Lord? He would say so. Yeah, if you would go down there and ask those people, they're saying, we're praising the Lord, going tut, 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 and doing the holy dances, so-called. There's another preacher for a mega church named Rod Parsley. You ever see him? I tuned in one time, just happened to pick up his program one time, and he was blowing a whistle. Yeah, he was up in the pulpit, and he had a whistle, and he was blowing the whistle and jumping up and down. And then they panned the audience, and the people were blowing whistles. Some of them even had those streamers, like you use at parties, you know. And I thought, what in the world? And then they panned the camera up on a great big banner they had, and it said, Party for Jesus. And they were having a party for Jesus, blowing whistles. Is that what it means to praise the Lord? They would say so. Yes, they would say, that's what it means to praise the Lord. You know, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, when he said, if someone comes into your assembly and everybody's speaking in tongues, you know, in the early church, they spoke in tongues, other languages, miraculously. But Paul said, do it one at a time, and everything's to be done decently in order, and there must be an interpreter. And Paul said, if you don't do that, be quiet. And by the way, he said, if somebody comes into your assembly and you're all speaking in tongues, they're going to think you're mad. Brethren, we don't want people thinking we're mad. Let me tell you something else. We don't want people thinking we're charismatic. We don't want people thinking we're charismatic. Now, somebody may be saying, Jerry, I don't care what they think. Shame on you. Shame on you. We want to glorify God, and we want to do it according to God's order. And so we can speak words of praise and glory to God, but let's do it decently and in order. And let's make sure we're speaking intelligible, meaningful words that describe glory and honor to God. Number two, not only can we speak words, we sing. Now here's a wonderful thing that I discovered in this study, and I guess I already knew it, but there's a wonderful relationship and correspondence between singing and praise. By the way, I hadn't thought about this till I gave this lesson this morning at Texarkana, and I hadn't thought about it till this morning, but you know, there's a difference between speaking and singing. There's a difference. And I think it's interesting that women are not to speak in the church, not even to say praise God or amen. When I lived in Victoria in the late 70s, there was a family I studied with, and they went to a church called the Jesus Church. They were charismatic. And I went over there one time. I went to visit the church one time, and of course they were all praising God, everybody simultaneously, the women too, testifying, speaking. So in our study, that came up, and I showed them 1 Corinthians 14, 34, 35, where Paul said, it's a shame for a woman to speak in the church. The woman got mad. She got all upset, and she said that, I guess us women can't praise God. And I tried to be real calm, and I said, yes, you can praise God, but you can't speak out. You can't speak and say, praise God, in the assembly, according to Paul. She stood up and said, we just can't praise God then. I said, yes, calmly as I could, you can praise God, but you can't speak to the assembly. Not according to the Apostle Paul. But listen, women sing. We can sing, and we all sing together and praise the Lord. In Colossians 3:16, Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Now listen, Paul says when we sing spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. He says we sing psalms and we sing hymns. What's the word hymn mean? Have you ever looked up that word, H-Y-M-N? A hymn is a song of praise. Now, not all of our songs fulfill the same function, if I can say it that way. In other words, we admonish each other and encourage each other, hopefully, with our songs. But the ultimate purpose, of course, is to praise God. And a hymn is a song of praise unto God. In Hebrews 2 and verse 12, Paul said, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Literally, W. Vine says, I will hymn thee. We hymn the Lord. We sing hymns or praise unto God in the midst of the church. Now, let me talk about something. Here, it's been a couple of years ago, I was in a congregation, and I didn't think much about it at the time. But I got to thinking about it later, and especially when I was given this topic, I really focused in on this. There was a young man that got up to lead a song. And he said, you know, a lot of the songs we sing are not praise songs. We don't ordinarily just sing songs of pure praise to God. He said, this one is. And then he went on to lead the song. I don't remember the song, but the words were something like, we praise you, we love you. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But his inference was that if the song doesn't say, we love you, we praise you, it's not a praise song. Well, listen, any song that gives glory and honor to the Lord is a song of praise, isn't it? I got to thinking about some of our great songs. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Is that a song of praise? Sure it is, isn't it? Don't we give praise and glory to Jesus? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Is that a praise song? Sure it is. Aren't we giving glory to Jesus for saving us? What about Linwood's great song, which I think maybe is his best song? Don't preach to me of all the world's great learning, nor tell of the world's philosophy. If to the Lord my soul you would be turning, just point me to the cross of Calvary. Is that a praise song? Come on. Come on. Sure it is. We're praising and glorifying Jesus and the cross. And any song that does that is a song of praise. And what a great opportunity we have when we blend our voices like we have tonight and give glory and honor to the Lord. Number three, we praise God by speaking words of praise. We praise God by singing. We praise God by confessing our sins. I found that this was a neat idea when I discovered this in this study. You remember the great story in Joshua 7 where Achan, after the battle of Jericho, they were told not to take anything. It was all to go into the treasure. And Achan took some gold and silver and some other things and hid it in his tent. And Israel suffered. And an investigation ensued. And finally, the finger pointed at Achan. And here's what Joshua said to him. Listen to this. In Joshua 7, verse 19, Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord, and make a confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. What's that? Joshua says, give glory to the Lord. How? By confessing your sin. Remember in John 9, when Jesus healed that blind man, and the rulers brought him in and interrogated him? Remember what they told him? They said, give praise to God. This man's a sinner. Now, they weren't telling that blind man, lift up your hands and praise God. They were saying, make a confession. You confess that this Jesus is a sinner. Of course, he wouldn't do that. But the point is, when we confess our sins and make an amends, a change in our lives, we're glorifying God. Isn't that neat? You know, I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking, how does that work? Well, you know, I think it works like this. When I confess my sin, and I make a change in my life and obey the Lord, God is vindicated. His righteousness is vindicated, and His mercy is vindicated. God's righteousness is vindicated because God is right and I am wrong. And I'm confessing, I'm wrong, God's right. And so God is vindicated. But, and here's the sweet thing, not only is God's righteousness vindicated, but His mercy. Because God doesn't want me to be lost. He doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. God wants us all to be saved. God wants to show mercy. And if we'll confess and obey Him and seek His mercy, He'll show mercy. And so His mercy is glorified and exhibited too. And so in that way, we give praise and glory to God. You know what we need to do, brethren? I've decided when we go and visit people that haven't obeyed the gospel or out of duty, we need to tell them, you need to glorify God. Your life is a shameful reflection on God's righteousness and His mercy. And you need to repent and confess and give God the glory. Isn't this what Jesus meant when He said there's more joy among the angels of God in the presence of God over one sinner that repents than over 99 just persons that need no repentance? Isn't that neat? When we confess our sins, we give praise to God. Number four, We give praise to God by giving thanks. When we're thankful, we praise the Lord. Paul says in Hebrews 13, verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Whenever we thank the Lord, we're offering a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. Remember, Jesus healed those 10 lepers. Only one came back. And what did Jesus say? Did he say just one come back to give praise to God? What did that man come back to do? He came back to thank Jesus. But when he thanked Jesus, he was giving praise to God. Listen, we need to stop being ingrates and unthankful and self-centered. And we need to realize that God is the author of everything in our lives that's good. And we need to give him thanksgiving. And when we do that, we're giving praise and glory unto the Lord. Lastly, this evening, have you noticed something? All four of these things I've mentioned have to do with the lips. Speaking, singing, confessing sin, and giving thanks. In fact, Paul said it's the sacrifice of our lips. But you know what? As I said at the outset, we can say praise God, or we can speak or sing praises to God all day long, but if our lives don't reflect the fact that we're glorifying God, we're hypocrites to the highest degree. And so we praise God by our lives, not just our lips, but by our lives as well. Philippians 1 and 11, Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ." Listen. "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." 1 Peter 2 and 9. Peter says, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Listen, when you're living the way you ought to be living, you're honest, you're moral, you're upright, you're serving God at school, at work, in your neighborhood, and the neighbors see that, that gives praise to God. We glorify God, not just by our lips, but by the way we live as well. Jesus said one time, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" Why do you go around saying, "Lord, Lord, praise the Lord," but you don't do what I tell you to do? Mohandas Gandhi, the liberator of India from English rule back in the 40s, was on a train one time. And the train was crowded, and they were going down the track, and there was a man, he was sitting in the aisle, and there was a man sitting across from him in the aisle, and this man kept spitting in the aisle. Every now and then, he just spit in the aisle. And so Gandhi said, "Would you please stop doing that?" And the man just looked at him and spit in the aisle again. Now, he didn't know this was Gandhi. In fact, a little later, the spitter started singing a song of praise to Gandhi. He said, "Oh, how I love Gandhi. Gandhi's our leader. Gandhi is our liberator. Oh, how I love Gandhi." Later, in one of his speeches, Gandhi made reference to that. And he said, "You know, that's how most of my followers are. They sing praises to me, but they won't do what I ask them to do." You know, I believe the Lord Jesus could say that today. Oh, there's lots of praising of God going on all over Dallas and all over the United States. People are jumping up and down and doing holy dances and praising the Lord, but they won't do what he says for them to do. They will not. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Listen, we want to give glory and honor to God, and we do that by our lips, but we do it by our lives. And when we do that, God is glorified and pleased with our lives and with our service.